Today we're going to continue on our message of collaboration and cooperation with God. Amen. Can you say that with me? Say cooperation and collaboration with God. One more time. Say cooperation and collaboration with God. Amen. My question to you today is, have you decided to cooperate and collaborate with Jesus? Amen. I think that's a fair question to ask in this day and time. Have you decided? Do you have it in your heart? Do you have it within you? Do you have the desire to cooperate and collaborate with God? Amen. And the reason I ask that question is because we live in a world today where it's all about self. It's all about us. It's all about you. It's all about get what you need, get what you want. You go pursue what you desire. You go pursue what you want. But how many of you are willing to sacrifice what you want so that you may obtain what God has planned? Amen. It's one thing to want what you want, but it's another thing to accept what God has orchestrated and what he has planned even before the foundations of the world. And I'm here to tell you this morning that what God has for you is better than what you could ever desire. Do you believe that? Do you believe that what God has purposed and what God has planned for you is better than whatever you could ever desire and whatever you could plan? Amen. It says that man has many plans. It says the plans of man are many, but it is God's purpose that prevails. Amen. It is God's purpose for our lives that prevails in every area of our lives. But the key to receiving the blessings and the favor and the perfect will of God is in cooperation and collaboration with God. Amen. Amen. You may take your seats. I'm excited about this series. I don't know how long this series is going to go. I just felt in my heart and felt in my spirit that the word that we spoke on, that I spoke on a few weeks ago concerning collaboration and cooperation, I felt that the Lord wanted me to stay right there in that vein. And I felt that it was something that the Lord was speaking to the body of Christ, to his church. And it's something that we truly need to grasp in this day and time. It's something that we really need to take hold of and not let go of in these last days. Because only what God establishes will stand. Only what God establishes will stand. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but it is the Lord's word and his will and his desire that will stand for eternity. Amen. So we're going to talk about this morning, again, cooperation and collaboration with God. And this will be part one of the series. And we're going to start by reading Matthew chapter 6, verse 10. Matthew chapter 6, verse 10. And it reads, "Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven." Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Amen. And may God add a blessing to the reading of his word. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in the earth as it already is settled in heaven. Now, this is a very familiar passage of scripture that we've heard many times. The disciples came to Jesus and said, "Teach us how to pray." What is prayer? Prayer is communicating with God. So the disciples came to Jesus and said, Would you teach us how to communicate with God? Would you teach us how to have a conversation with God? And Jesus says, this is how you should come to the Father. This is how you should pray. He says, our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. And then he says, thy kingdom come, your will be done in the earth as it is already established in the heavens. Now, when Jesus teaches the disciples this prayer strategy or this prayer equation, this is what I locked in on. I personally locked in on this part of the scripture that says, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. But the question that came to my mind when I read this was, how does God get his kingdom from heaven to the earth? Because it's easy to pray that prayer, but when you begin to break down and you begin to think about how that's actually going to happen, how it's actually going to manifest, how this prayer is actually going to become realized in the earth, you have to ask yourself, how does that happen? How does we pray the prayer? We ask God to do it, but God, how does God get his kingdom from the heavens into the earth? Well, then I had to ask myself, how has he gotten everything else into the earth? We're praying that God's kingdom come to the earth, but how has God gotten everything else into the earth? So I began to look back and I began to research and I began to look through the scriptures, and I wanted to know more about his kingdom and getting his kingdom on the earth. And I zeroed in on the where it says, thy will be done. Because the kingdom of God is God's will, his thoughts, his desires. The kingdom of God is God's ways of doing things. God's will being manifested in the earth is God's kingdom. So how does God get his will done and accomplished in the earth? Let's look at Luke 22 and 42. Luke chapter 22, verse 42. You know, we hear a lot about the kingdom of God. We preach a lot about the kingdom of God. We read a lot of books about the kingdom of God. We hear a lot about being kingdom citizens and being in the, you know, being in the kingdom of God. And we hear a lot about it. It's a very popular topic. But sometimes we have to go back to the fundamentals and ask the question, how does God's kingdom get in the earth? What is the most basic formula concerning the kingdom? How does God's kingdom manifest in the earth? Luke 22 and 42, and I want to set this up for you for just a second. Luke 22 and 42 is where Jesus is in the Garden of Gethsemane. And it is said that he is praying and that he is preparing himself to accomplish his mission of going to the cross and dying for the sins of man. But in his humanity, he prays to the Father and says, Father, if thou be willing, remove this cup from me. But then he says this. He says, nevertheless, not my will, but thy will be done. Did you catch the connection? In Matthew 6 and 10, he says, pray this prayer to the Father. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done. But when Jesus finds himself in a predicament, in a situation that he doesn't want to, a place that he doesn't want to go, he prays the prayer. He said, Father, if you are willing to remove this cup from me, do so. He said, but not my will, thy will be done. Because in order for man to be redeemed from sin, Jesus had to be willing to allow the Father's will be done in the earth. So my question to you again is, how does God get his kingdom from heaven, his will, his desires, his plans, his purpose? How does he get those things from heaven into the earth? Well, the short answer is through man's cooperation and through man's collaboration. God has to have a man or a woman. When I say man, I want you to understand that I'm talking about humanity. In order for God to get his will from heaven and into the earth, he has to have a man or someone in the earth who will cooperate and say, "Thy will be done." On earth, as it is already established in the heavens. Why is this so important? Why is this so important? Because the world has taught you that you are to go after your dreams, after your passions, after what you want. The world tells you you can do anything, you can be anything, you can go anywhere, you can do whatever you want. And all those things sound good on the surface. And although we definitely don't want to discourage anybody from pursuing their dreams and their goals and their visions and all those things, although we don't want to discourage you from those things, the ultimate thing and the most powerful thing that you can do is say, not my will, but thy will be done. Why is it so important for you to cooperate and say thy will be done to the Father? Why is it so important that we be willing to say, not what I want, God, but I want what you want? Why is that so important? Because when we say that, we become a part of a bigger picture. When we say, not my will be done, but your will be done, when we finally decide to cooperate with God and collaborate with his plans, we become part of a bigger plan than our own. You see, when you go along with your own plans and your own desires, and you go along with your own vision, then you can only reach the level to which you can accomplish. But when you connect your will with the will of the Father, you are able to connect with a passion. You are able to connect with a plan. You are able to connect with a purpose that is bigger than anything that you would have even dreamed or thought about. But it requires cooperation and collaboration with God. What is cooperation? What is a definition of cooperation? And I want to break down the difference between, because there is a difference between cooperation and collaboration. Although they are similar, they are different. So what does it mean to cooperate? What is cooperation? Cooperation is the division of labor in a team where each person is responsible for fulfilling their role. So cooperation, again, is the division of labor. It is an individual assignment that each team member has and is responsible for fulfilling. So when we say you are going to, we want that you should cooperate with God, what that simply means is that there is a distinctive thing that you are called and you are purposed and that you are designed to do in the earth that is connected to God's purpose and plan. To cooperate with God is to do your part in his plan. To cooperate with God is to understand and to know that I have a distinctive purpose and I have a distinctive plan, and that God created, there are certain good works that God prepared for me even before the foundations of the world. To cooperate with God is to do the things that you were distinctively created, called, and commissioned to accomplish. When you cooperate with God, you are doing your distinctive part. An example of that would be where even the Trinity, even the Father, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit operate and cooperate with one another. How can I prove it to you? Here's the proof. When God decided to send his Son Jesus into the earth to redeem man from the law of sin and death, it says that he sent his son, but the Holy Spirit had to come upon Mary so that Mary could be supernaturally impregnated with the child. So each one of them had a distinctive role to play in getting God, getting Jesus from heaven in the earth. God, the Father, had to send the Son. The Holy Spirit had to carry the Son and place him on the inside of the woman. And Jesus himself had to be birthed out of the woman. So each part of the Trinity had to cooperate with one another in order for God's plan and purpose to be manifested in the earth. But not only that, they had to continue on doing their part. Jesus had to cooperate as the Son who was sent from heaven to the earth. He had to cooperate by living a sinless life and then ultimately dying on the cross. And in dying on the cross, he cooperated with God and fulfilled his task. But it said then that the Father raised him from the dead. So the Father still had the part to play in the plan of man's redemption, because there's no redemption without resurrection. I'm going to say that again. There's no redemption without resurrection. So in order for man's redemption to be made manifest in the earth, the Father had to do his part in raising the Son. You see how this is working? Even God, the Godhead, even God in the Trinity had to operate and cooperate with one another for God's purposes and God's plan and his kingdom to be manifested in the earth. But what is collaboration? Collaboration is everyone is responsible for the overall goal. Although they distinctively have specific tasks to perform, collaboration says they all have to come in agreement that it's for the overall plan. You understand? Cooperation is, I have a specific sole task to complete, but collaboration says I understand that it's connected to the overall plan. I'm not doing this because it's for my benefit only. There's a bigger plan. There's a bigger purpose. There's a bigger picture that goes outside and beyond my individual task. How do I know this? Because if I don't do it, God can find somebody else to fulfill my role and to fulfill his plan. There's a bigger plan. But when I collaborate with God, I say that I'm doing this and I come in agreement that what I am doing is not for me alone, but it is for your overall purpose and your plan. Collaboration, again, is everyone is responsible for the overall goal. When we're going back to Jesus, or God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, each and every one of them had an individual task, but all parties were responsible for one mission, and that was to redeem man back to God. Hallelujah. So why is this important and what does this mean for you? Let's look at Luke chapter 17. Luke chapter 17. We'll look at verses 20 through 21. Luke chapter 17, verses 20 through 21. And it reads, "And when the Pharisees had demanded of him when the kingdom of God should come, he answered them and said, 'The kingdom of God cometh not with outward show. Neither shall they say, Lo, it is here, or Lo, it is there. For behold, the kingdom of God is within you.'" Amen. Now, I want to make sure that we understand this passage of Scripture, because when you read the Scripture in this current text, you can almost assume that Jesus is saying to the Pharisees that the kingdom of God was on the inside of them, Well, we know that that cannot be correct because they were not believers. They actually came against the kingdom of God, and they actually dismissed Jesus. And so Jesus could not have been saying the kingdom of God was on the inside of them. So this is why it's important for you to get a good concordance and to read scriptures through other versions and get you a good commentary, because it will break down the scriptures in a way that they need to be understood. When you look at this passage of scripture in the proper context, when Jesus says, "For behold, the kingdom of God is within you," the proper translation is that it should say, "The kingdom of God is among you," which Jesus was saying, you're looking for a physical kingdom to come. You're looking for buildings, and you're looking for structures, and you're looking for an army, and you're looking for palaces, and you're looking for all those things. He said, but the kingdom of God is standing in front of you right now, because Jesus says, when I step in the room, the kingdom comes with me. Did you hear what I said? The Pharisees asked Jesus, how should the kingdom of God come? How will we know that the kingdom of God is here? And Jesus answered them. He said, it will not be how you think it's going to show up. The kingdom of God does not show up like you think it's going to show up. He said, some will look for it and say it is there. Some will look for it and say it is over here. He said, but the kingdom of God has come because I showed up. Wherever Jesus showed up, that is where the kingdom is. I think I'm going to say that again. Wherever Jesus shows up, that is where the kingdom is. Because where the king is, the kingdom follows. Where the king is, the kingdom follows. And why is that important for you to understand? The reason that's important for you to understand is because when the moment you got saved, the Bible says that the Holy Spirit comes to live on the inside of you. And when the Holy Spirit comes to live on the inside of you, it is Jesus himself, because the Holy Spirit is the Spirit of Christ. Knowing that the Holy Spirit is the Spirit of Christ, when you show up in the room, because you have the Spirit of Christ living on the inside of you, the kingdom comes with you wherever you go. The kingdom of God does not yet rule on earth as a physical kingdom. And we know that if you study the book of Revelations, we know that there will one day be a new heaven and a new earth. And we know that Christ will establish his kingdom here on the earth in Israel, and the capital will be Jerusalem. So we know that there will one day be a physical kingdom. But how does the kingdom manifest itself in the earth now? The kingdom manifests itself through the earth now, through those of us who believe in Christ, who have received Christ as our Lord and Savior. And we walk as kingdom citizens. We walk as kings and priests in the earth. We walk as kingdom ambassadors in the earth. So as you and I go to and fro, as you and I go in and out, as you and I go throughout the earth, the kingdom of God goes with us. You want to know how God gets the kingdom of God from the heaven to the earth? He gets it through you, through your cooperation, and through your collaboration with him. Amen. Presently, the kingdom of God rules through the hearts and the minds of the people. The kingdom of God is expressed when we think, talk, and act in cooperation and collaboration with God. I'm going to say that again. The kingdom of God is manifested and expressed in the earth when we think, talk, and act in cooperation and collaboration with God. So the question becomes then, are you talking kingdom? Because if God is going to get his kingdom from heaven to the earth, it has to come through the way you talk. You catching what I'm saying? If God is going to get his kingdom from the heaven into the earth, it's going to come through how you think. If God is going to get his kingdom from the heavens and to the earth, it's going to come through how you choose, how you act, how you demonstrate, how you walk, how you talk. This is how God gets his kingdom from the heavens into the earth, through the way you treat your brothers, through the way you treat your sisters, how you act in the earth, how you talk, what you speak, what you think. This is how God manifests his kingdom in the earth. So the question is, are you collaborating with God? Are you cooperating with God? Do your thoughts, your words, your actions bring God's kingdom into reality from heaven, from the heavenly realm into the earthly realm? Have you ever thought about that? Do my words, do my thoughts, and do my actions bring God's kingdom from heaven to earth? I want you to start asking yourself that on a daily basis. Do my thoughts, do my words, what I say, and do my actions bring God's kingdom from heaven into the earth? Or do they block it from coming into the earth? Now, if you look down through Scripture, this is the process that God has always used in every situation. In order for God to redeem man in the Old Testament, he had to have the cooperation of a man and his family named Noah. God comes to Noah and says, I need you to build me an ark. And Noah, out of obedience, begins to build the ark. But I want you to imagine what would have happened if Noah had not decided to cooperate with God. Every time down through Scripture, in order for God to get his purpose, his plans, his will in the earth, he had to have a man's cooperation. And we're going to talk about this throughout the series as we go along. We're going to dig into specific stories and specific people. But the reality is we can pray for God's kingdom to be manifested all day. We can come in church. We can praise. We can lift up our hands. We can speak in tongues. We can do all these things. We can do all these ritual things and just beg God for his kingdom to be manifested on the earth. And he said, and God, the only thing God is going to say is, all I need is your cooperation. He said, I don't need you to beg me for my kingdom to come on the earth. He said, what I truly need is just for you to cooperate with me. He said, and if you cooperate with me, then my kingdom will begin to manifest in the earth. He said, if you can think, if you can talk, and if you can act in accordance with my word, with my will, with my desire, he said, then you will begin to see the kingdom of God manifested in all aspects of your life. This is why the scripture says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these other things that you desire will be added unto you. Because to seek God's kingdom is to seek God's ways of doing things. It's to seek God's thoughts. It's to seek God's heart. When you seek God's thoughts, you seek God's heart, you seek his will, then you are seeking the kingdom of God. Because God's kingdom is his will, his purpose, his plans. And when you seek these things and you walk in them, then the kingdom of God begins to manifest in your life. And if you know anything about a kingdom and a king, they are always trying to expand. They're always trying to take over territory. They're always trying to expand their dominion. They're always trying to expand their influence. They're always trying to expand their authority. So it doesn't stop with you. The kingdom of God doesn't stop with you, but it flows through you. Did you hear what I said? I said the kingdom of God doesn't stop within you, but the kingdom of God flows through you. I want you to picture a kingdom trying to come down from heaven, a physical kingdom trying to come down from heaven, but it can't get in the earth, so it breaks up. It breaks up and divides itself, and it comes upon men, and men build and manifest the kingdom in the earth. How did God do this in the Old Testament? Well, he did it this way. He said, I want to build a tabernacle. He said, and I've got an idea of what I want it to look like. I've got an idea of how big I want it to be, what the dimensions I want it to be. He said, I've got all these. I want this tabernacle so that there will be a place for me to dwell. And so he goes to a man named Moses and say, I need a tabernacle built. I need you to build the blueprint. I want you to draw out the blueprint. I want you to write down the dimensions. He said, because I can't physically come down there and manifest it. He said, I need you to take the blueprint, write it up, draw it up. He said, I want you to get everything exactly the way I want it written up. He said, but Moses, but you're not an artist. You're not an architect. You're not a goldsmith. You're not a woodworker. You're not a carpenter. He said, so I'm going to have to put my spirit and my heart and my desire on a two guys, Bezalel and Oholiab, who were two artisans in the Bible. He said, I'm going to put a spirit of wisdom and creativity on them so that my will, my pattern, my picture in my head can be manifested in a physical world. You see, God is a spirit. God is a spirit. And so in order for him to manifest his will in the earth, he has to do it through man, who is a physical being in the earth. And man, in order to get God's will in the earth, has to cooperate with God's will, desire, and his instructions. So the question is, are you cooperating and collaborating with God? Are you seeking the kingdom of God? And then once you receive the instructions of the kingdom, are you willing to manifest God's kingdom in the earth by what you think, by how you talk, and by how you walk? This is how God's kingdom is manifested in the earth. And this is going to continue to be our key scripture throughout this series. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Now, before you pray that prayer again, I want you to understand what you're asking God. And I want you to understand how God is going to respond when you pray that prayer. Because for too long, we have prayed that prayer expecting God to do something. I'm going to say that again. For too long, we have prayed that prayer, thy kingdom come. You know how we do. Oh, God, let your kingdom come. Let your kingdom fall. Let your kingdom be manifested in the earth. Oh, God, we want your kingdom to be expanded on the earth. Oh, God, let your kingdom come. And God responds and says, are you willing to cooperate with me and collaborate with me so that my kingdom can be manifested? You see, when you pray that prayer, thy kingdom come, thy will be done, the only way that God's will can be done in the earth is through man's allowance and cooperation. When you say, well, Jeremy, God is all powerful and God is omniscient and omnipresent and, you know, he can do all things and he, you know, yes, that is true. Yes, God is all powerful, but God has established his own laws in the spiritual realm and in the earthly realm. And in order for God to operate in the physical realm, he has to have cooperation from a physical being to do so. God has established his own priorities. He said, this is the way it's going to operate. This is the way I'm going to get the physical things in the physical earth. And so in order for God to establish his kingdom and to let his kingdom be influenced throughout the earth, it starts with man's cooperation and collaboration with God. Amen. So this is the introduction to this series, Cooperation and Collaboration with God. And we know that although this is God's desire, and all this is, though this is God's will, that his kingdom be manifested in the earth, that the only way that that can happen is if we submit to the King, Jesus. In order for you to be able to cooperate with God and to collaborate with his eternal plan, you have to first submit to the King. It's hard to collaborate with a king you haven't submitted to. I'm going to say that again. It's hard to cooperate and collaborate with a king you haven't submitted to. And so today, even those who are watching Facebook Live, if you have not submitted to the King, I want to invite you to do that today. Amen. The way to submit to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords is through salvation. The Bible says that we were all born in sin and shaped in iniquity, and that the wages of those sins are death. But he also says that the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ. That God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whomsoever would believe in him would not perish, but would have everlasting life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but through his Son the world might be saved. And if you would today confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God the Father has raised him from the dead, then you shall surely be saved. And once you make that decision to submit to the King, the Word of God says that old things are passed away. Behold, all things have become new. And that there is therefore now no condemnation to those who were in Christ Jesus. All those things, your former life, is passed away. When you submitted to Jesus, it said that you died with him, but with him you rose to new life, and that you are now a new spiritual being, being made alive in Christ, and that your body is dead to sin, but alive in Christ. And Paul says it this way: I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that now that you walk in newness of life, commit your bodies unto God as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may know the perfect and acceptable will of God. God is calling for his people to connect with him, to cooperate and to collaborate with him, so that his kingdom can continue to be influenced and expressed and manifested in the earth. And we must first do this by submitting to the King, Jesus. And when we give our heart and our minds and our life to him, then the Bible says that when we can know the acceptable, perfect will of God, and when we begin to learn his will, when we begin to come into his will, to discover his will, not only for our lives, but for humanity and for the world. And when we decide to say, not my will, but thy will be done. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Then we can begin to see the kingdom of God manifest in our life. Amen. And so, Father God, we just thank you for this word on today. God, we thank you for continuing to reveal to us.